Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
From Westminster, this is The Standard Podcast and I'm Mark Blunden. Rishi Sunak's controversial Rwanda bill was today brought into stark focus following the deaths of at least five migrants, including a child, who were packed into a boat of more than 100 people trying to cross the English Channel. Police and the French Coast Guard said the fatalities included three men, a woman and a child. The Channel tragedy occurred as migrants tried to reach the UK from an area of the French coast near the town of Wimereux. It comes after late-night votes in Parliament as Sunak finally saw his controversial Rwanda bill sending illegal migrants to Africa come to fruition.
The ayes to the right, 312. The noes to the left, 237. So the ayes have it, the ayes have it.
Ahead of the vote, the PM said the first planes would take off within 10 to 12 weeks, but how many people will be on board?
I know there'll be lots of interest in the exact operational detail of what we're about to embark on. And I've tried very hard in my statement to give everyone a sense of the preparation work that's gone into this. And as much as I am able to say about the future, and that's for a very good reason, like, it's clear that there is a loud minority of people who will do absolutely anything and everything to disrupt this policy from succeeding.
It's been suggested the £370 million deportation deal with the Rwandan government could end up costing £1.8 million for every one of the first 300 people flown out of the UK. Following the bill's passing, Home Secretary James Cleverly today described the government's deportation plan passing through Parliament as a landmark moment in our plan to stop the boats. Yesterday, the Lords was engaged in an extended back and forth over the Safety of Rwanda Asylum and Immigration Bill, sending it back to the Commons five times in a bid to secure changes. It's been a long, expensive and time-consuming political road for Sunak to get to this point, but there's still plenty of legal obstacles to go. So what's next? How will it work? And how does the government justify its arguments? Now I'm inside Parliament in the House of Commons and I'm joined by the Evening Standard's political editor Nicholas Cecil. Nick, first, Tuesday's awful tragedy in the Channel. What can you tell us and what do we know about the circumstances?
Well, when people woke up this morning, there was very much a strong focus on Parliament and the controversial Rwanda bill, which cleared Parliament late last night. But then very tragic reports started emerging from France about an incident late last night in which five migrants, including a young girl, very tragically died after their boat got into trouble off the Pas-de-Calais area.
Of course, it's a stark reminder of the human toll of migrants trying in desperate circumstances to reach the UK.
Yes, and very much so. And so kind of when things like this happen, kind of the politics very quickly disappears into the background. Both the Conservatives and Labour, they will look at this and think it makes the case for what they are suggesting. So the government will be advocating that you need very, very tough measures, a strong deterrent to stop these crossings happening in the first place. There are reports that there were as many as 10 attempted crossings so far today, and dozens of people, migrants, asylum seekers and some economic migrants, already been brought ashore at Dover. So Rishi Sunak is saying this tragedy again shows why we need this very strong deterrent about deporting people to Rwanda. Labour, on the other hand, are saying the government has failed on this issue and that they think the government's Rwanda plan is largely a expensive gimmick and that it won't solve the problem. They're saying there needs to be far more cooperation and far more targeting of the criminal gangs behind all this very evil trade. People trafficking, people risking their lives in desperate measures to get to Britain.
What was the significance of last night's vote for Rishi Sunak? Now he's finally got it through with what seems like a real fair bit of bad faith arguing.
He's got his bill through now. It will get royal assent possibly later this week. But this is by no means the end of the argument over this bill. A number of peers, including Conservative peers, think it is possibly unlawful and it will face challenges in the courts. And one prominent peer, Lord Anderson, who's a former reviewer of terrorism legislation, so a significant figure, he's described the legislation as post-truth, basically, because this Rwanda bill declares the Central African country as safe, a safe place for Britain to send its asylum seekers to. And this is exactly what the Supreme Court ruled wasn't to be the case, because Britain's most senior judges took the view that while Rwanda itself might be a safe country, there is a risk or potential risk that some asylum seekers who wanted refuge in Britain, who were then sent to Rwanda, could then be deported back to the very country from where they had fled, even if they would be at risk of possibly torture or even death.
Let's go to the ads coming up. What will happen to the PM's flagship Rwanda bill if Labour wins government? Why not hit follow in the meantime? Give us a rating.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back. Now we're back with Nicholas Cecil in the House of Commons. Nick, remind us, how does the government justify the legal, moral and financial case for this deportation plan? What is the government saying?
Well, the government don't deny that it's an expensive scheme, so they're open about that. But they point out actually the current scheme, the current system of putting asylum seekers and economic migrants up in hotels while their cases are looked at is also very expensive. So what they're hoping for is that if they get a regular number of flights going, that people will stop trying to cross the channel on small boats to get to Britain. Now, it's far from clear that that will happen, even if they get flights going. And the illegal migration minister this morning, Michael Tomlinson, admitted that what the government should be judged on ultimately is whether they succeed in their words, stopping the boats, rather than just getting flights off the ground. So the government's first challenge is actually to get any flights going. There'll be lots and lots of legal challenges. But even if they do, will that reduce the flow of migrants across the channel? So far, they've been more than 6,000 have come to Britain this year, people often fleeing war-torn countries or seeking a better future. So numbers are already high. And the other thing which may make it more difficult for the government is that Labour have made clear that they're going to ditch the Rwanda plan as soon as they get office, or certainly very soon after getting into office if they do. Labour is widely expected to win the general election, expected in the autumn. So unless the government gets flights going very, very soon, it's hard to see how big an impact the Rwanda scheme will have if the criminal gangs behind the human trafficking and the individuals seeking to come to Britain know that the whole scheme will be ditched later this year or very early next year.
Could you sum up for us in terms of the quite complex back and forth with the readings from the Lords to the Commons, how that worked?
So what happened? There was a standoff between the House of Lords and the Commons, or the House of Lords and the government. So the Commons is the elected chamber, and ultimately the Commons will normally always get its way because it is elected. The Lords is a revising chamber, a scrutiny chamber, so they put forward a series of amendments over several rounds of what we call parliamentary ping pong, where a bill goes from one chamber to the other as the Commons try to change it, the Lords try to change it, and basically it was a standoff. But ultimately, peers were always expected to give way. Basically, if the government dug its heels in and said, this is what we want, the Lords would eventually concede. There were attempts to pass two amendments in the Lords in the later stages of ping pong. One was to make sure that, for example, Afghan nationals who had served alongside British forces in Afghanistan, to make sure that they wouldn't be subject to these Rwanda deportation plans. There was some minor concession on that. We need to wait to see how significant that was, but that amendment eventually got pulled. And then the final hurdle was basically centered very much about the question about whether Rwanda is a safe country, and peers wanted a monitoring body to have a say in that. The government dug its heels in, and ultimately that went by the wayside.
And finally, in terms of the legislative aspect of this, we've spoken in the past about legislation being passed by this government in terms of possibly influencing future Labour policy, but that would not be the case in this regard. Would it be repealed? How would that work?
Labour have made very, very clear that they would ditch the Rwanda scheme. How quickly they would do that's still to be seen. But on a lot of government policies, they are sticking quite closely to them, for example, on taxation and other issues. They certainly don't want too much dividing lines in quite a few areas. But on this issue, there's very clear differences. Labour have already laid out the very broad outline of their plan, which would be more focus on tackling the criminal gangs, working more closely with other European neighbours to thwart these gangs and their trade in people trafficking. In a way, it's with all elections, it's the government that has got to defend its record. And at the moment, the government's record on this is very poor.
There's more on this story in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back on Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.